This is Data Citizens Dialogues, your guide to bringing trust to your data, decisions, and all things AI. For Calibra, I'm Thomas Brents. All right, welcome back to another episode of Data Citizens Dialogues. As always, I'm Thomas Brents with Calibra. My role with the company is to lead our portfolio marketing team. The best part is that I get to work with customers directly, and frankly, I get to work with everyone directly, including our founders. And in today's episode, you're going to hear from one of those founders, Stan Christensen. Stan recently sat down with the team at Freddie Mac. Let's tune in to see what they have to say.
Hey, this is Stan from Calibra, and we're reporting live from the Calibra Data Citizens event in Orlando. And we're together with the Freddie Mac team to talk data. Maybe let's start with some introductions. So Stan, and running Calibra's data office.
My name is Arvind Jagannathan. Great to be here, Stan. Everyone just calls me Jag. I'm vice president and I run our single family. I'm the single family CDO within Freddie.
My name is Vikram Chopra. I work for Jag, also in Freddie Mac, single family. Been there 7 years. I'm director of data analytics, but a data citizen first.
Thank you. Our viewpoint is that a data citizen is everyone who uses data to do their job. And today, especially in the age of AI, that's increasingly everyone. But Jag and Vikram, first of all, thank you for being here. And as you know, in a data citizens event, what really matters is sharing your stories, right? Because that's how the whole community learns, because we all have our own obstacles, our own challenges, and hearing the stories and learning how to apply them in our own context helps us all. Let's maybe start a little bit with Freddie Mac's vision, mission. What is the organization?
So Freddie Mac, for those that don't know, is a government-sponsored entity that was founded to serve homeowners, home buyers, and renters by equitably providing liquidity, stability, and affordability to the U.S. housing finance system. Officially and report on two business lines. Single family is the residential side of the marketplace, and multifamily is supporting the rental side of the U.S. housing finance system. To give you some statistics, last year we helped and support 1.4 million homeowners and renters find their dream of owning a home or a rental. For those that know that have gotten a mortgage or any type of rental agreement, it's a lot of paper, right? There's 80 data elements unique in every loan file. We have 13.5 million active loans. We have a $3 trillion balance sheet. We are basically, everything's around data to make sure that we could support our mission, support our business objectives, and in the most efficient manner.
I was trying to calculate in my head, 80 data points times is a lot of data.
It is a lot of
data. And that's flowing through our data governance, which is a Calibra, right? In terms of making, in terms of following, and we'll talk, over time about how we're modernizing and that stuff, but it starts with those table stakes at the end of the day.
Exactly. So that's the 80 points is predominantly
residential.
The mission is public.
Yes.
And clearly, data supports the mission.
Yes.
Has that always been the case?
So when we created our single family strategy, we looked at three building blocks. Managed content, which you talk to CDOs is more your defensive side.
Yep.
Data governance, data management, data quality.
Yep.
Everything that we've always worked together. Right? Trust your source is making sure the ecosystem is running.
Right.
Effectively, right? That's keeping the train on the tracks. From your producers to your consumers, the entire infrastructure of the company. And then empower business.
Right.
Right? And if you think about where we are today in supporting our mission, it's all three that's required. So the way I look at it, it's almost like a pyramid. Your corporate plans your objectives, which is supporting our mission. You got to manage risk, right, with that type of activity. You think about digitization. You have also various scorecard regulatory items, like we support data standards for the industry, our MISMO. So they all come together, right, in terms of corporate planks or business objectives. But then we create metrics and key risk indicators from our data team to support each of those planks.
Right.
And it's important that how do you tell the story of data? And I know, Stan, you and I've talked about this storytelling, right? Yep. It's critically important that you use forums, not only for management. So we have executive advisory boards. Mm-hmm. We have our business process reviews with our senior management. Mm-hmm. Technology reviews quarterly with our president and CFO.
Of course.
To tell you what progress we're making. Equally important is for our people. So our extended leads, our leadership meetings, is using the same metrics, the KRIs that we've shared, so that folks can also see the line of sight, mm-hmm. where they fit in terms of those plans.
Right.
Because without that story, how do you can show progress? What's the commitment? We're all investing in terms of management. It's very important to get that out. And that's what it's worked for us in terms of that evolution.
I fully agree with you on the storytelling. I think as data people, sometimes we get lost in our own jargon. We talk about data meshes and data lakes. But if you're not in the data space, yeah. those concepts make no sense, right? It's foreign language. So the storytelling is super important, adapted, of course, to the language of the audience. So with respect to your strategy, for example, what I like a lot in the way you explain it, it's essentially almost game language or a defensive data strategy, which is table stakes, yeah. as you mentioned, all the way to offensive. What is the value that we're adding to the organization, to the mm-hmm. mission? And I think that we have to continue doing that. You know how much I like to talk about data monetization yes. these days, because it's our job as data leaders to translate from the difficult concept of data into the language of the business, the dollar, if I yes. can simplify it a little bit, yeah. right?
I would just like to add on offensive and defensive strategy. Mm-hmm. Whenever we are thinking of a solution for our data modernization, yeah. we are thinking both the angles. So on the offensive side and the defensive side. Mm-hmm. So when we are thinking about understanding who is using what data, mm-hmm. from a governance, from a compliance, from a regulatory standpoint, we had the requirement to essentially register all the usage of our consumers. We called it data consumer registration yep. in a central data governance tool. We are essentially being defensive here, where we are saying that, okay, what data you are using, we are registering that mm-hmm. use case, your consumption pattern, your service level agreement, whatever are the requirements mm-hmm. that we need to capture. But from the offensive side, if you have registered your use case, we should make a provision for access along with it. Mm-hmm. So after registering a use case, the consumer should not have to go into another tool to get access.
Right.
So having a framework, when we are thinking about developing solutions, we should be addressing both aspects of it.
The defensive data strategy boils down to the use case, the consumption. You have to register that somehow. What is the cause that you have to do that?
So the way we look at it, when we started modernizing our ecosystem, yeah. And we've heard this, like, how do you avoid a data swamp? How do you avoid the mistakes that happened in the legacy world?
You mean like 5 years ago in the data lakes and then 10 years before in the data warehouses and so on and so forth?
So the fact is, if you know that what data is actually coming in, what's the purpose of it? Mm-hmm. Things have been registered and you have that, what I call data quality, all those rules already in.
Yeah.
Yes. And then now we're getting to the fun part. What advanced analytics do I want? How do I get to more that derive that business value? Mm. That's where we bridge this defensive and offensive side together.
Yeah. I fully agree. But sometimes for the audience, their bosses might mm-hmm. not believe in it and they might need a reason to convince them. So in this specific case, is there a regulatory driver that forces you to do that? Is it the mission that forces you to do that?
Great question, Stan. So, you know, you can always say, like in a regulatory entity, you could always point to regulation or you could always point to governance standards, right, as the stuff. But if you just go down that angle from a business user, they feel like data is a tax, right? Mm. What we said is, hey, once you do this process, here's the time that you save. Mm-hmm. Here's the benefit that you're getting.
Right.
So as similar as you know, Vikram said, you know, data citizens first, if we start making a data-centric organization and make everyone feel like they're a data citizen, mm-hmm. they become our advocates.
Yep.
And that's what we've seen, mm-hmm. right, in the last 5 years, where folks are now seeing the power of our modernized ecosystem. And, you know, when we started our journey, first you had to talk about, and Stan, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this.
Of course.
what was a modernized ecosystem? What was it?
Five years ago?
Any company going through, right? You're going from a legacy world to the cloud.
Yeah.
How are you going to do all this, right? It's about the what first.
Yeah.
Then you got to figure out the how, right? Yeah. Tools,
yeah.
All this stuff. And you're going to tell management it's a multi-year journey and it's going to cost you a lot of money.
Yeah, but it's called lift and shift, so it's fine. Everybody does it.
But then what's the benefit?
Yeah.
Now what we're really getting to is the when. Because they're seeing that, how that advanced analytics, they're seeing the offensive side to drive the business value coming in. That's more fun, right? Conversation. So from a management standpoint, they're seeing the benefits by doing this because guess what? I've taken care of my risk management guidelines, but equally I'm deriving business value through this process.
Governance quickly gets associated with data police, right?
Yeah.
And you use the word data tax. Mm-hmm. Same difference, right? It comes with you have to do this, you have to do this. Whereas the notion of champions, right, and winning people time or what have you is much stronger in getting almost like a social movement across the organization.
It goes back to what business problem are we trying to solve?
Yeah.
Start from the business problem. Seeing this is how we do this. And then folks become data citizens, they become data advocates, data champions.
Because everyone you win another wave.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah, coming back to the consumer registration, the benefits are somewhat obvious, actually, you know, to us at least, after you have done this step. When your consumers are registered in a central location, from an operations team perspective, and even from the consumer's perspective, two things can be done very easily. One is the consumer can be notified about operational metadata, if you will.
Right.
So when the data that you were looking for, that refresh has happened, you have a new data set that you can start to use for your consumption. And on top of that also, the world is not perfect. There are times when we run into data issues. So having those consumer registration in a central location, we can have alerts, notification automated. As your operational metadata is coming in, meaning it's identifying any reconciliation issues with accuracy or validation, you can alert the downstream consumers based on the registrations that are in place.
I love it. You are doubling down that the value is really internal for the champions because you're saying, it's almost like this. Oh, I'm getting a ping notification. Oh, there's new data for me.
Yeah.
Let me refresh my reports or something like that, right? Yeah. That's a very powerful concept.
Yeah.
On the modernization side, did you do the lift and shift, you know, moving to the cloud, those sorts of concepts? We're going to try unpacking them a little bit. Did you do the registry as part of that, before that, after that?
You know, if I think about what you said about lift and shift and people have tried it, our journey to the cloud really started from a resiliency risk management side. We started our modernization effort a few years ago. We'll be pretty much done by next year in terms of completing the entire retiring legacy assets and making our data assets cloud native.
Yep.
Purpose of that was, again, deriving business value.
Mm-hmm.
Advanced analytics, I keep on going back to that. What are we getting for the consumer? What are they seeing? It's not technology for tech. It's the business problems that we're trying to solve.
Mm.
So that's where we really have moved towards. Clearly, there's reducing a cost of some of the assets, right? You're able to save, you know, straight dollars.
Mm-hmm.
But if I look at it, again, what's the so what? And I give a couple examples, Stan. I go back to those 80 data elements.
Yep.
And you're able to use digitization. So working with our customers to help reduce the friction in terms of absorbing or buying loans.
Mm-hmm.
We estimated that, you know, in last year, we were able to save over $2,000, right? For every loan, okay?
That adds up.
That goes to the borrower,
yeah.
right? And that helps the seller reduce costs, right? And goes back to, so you think, okay, what does this all mean in terms of digitization? That's just a straight, you know, paraphrase example.
That's like a direct line to remission.
Remission.
Yeah.
Advanced analytics, reports that were coming out to support our, you know, affordability or helping our internal consumers make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming out, you know, back in the olden days, right? You got to run the batch, bup, 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 right? By the time you get it, it's 3 o'clock the following day, right? You know, you already have lost.
Mm.
Now it's 8 o'clock in the morning.
Mm.
They come in, you already have it. That's power. So that decision-making now is happening much more real time.
Mm-hmm.
again, to help our mission,
yep.
to help our customers, to help, again, the ecosystem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those are just two examples, but it just highlights what business problem we're solving. And now it's about the value. It's just not just the risk management side.
No, like you're not just saying we need to go to the cloud because that's a new technology thing to do. You're saying it's about reliability. And in a way, it's about agility as well. Then you're doing a move. And if I'm understanding you correctly in the modernization effort, you started a few years ago. You're almost there, which is quite an impressive feat. And the added benefit, and you know, in this day and age, we have to talk about AI, is that modern state architecture also readies you for additional benefits coming from that lane. But we'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah.
But save AI for last.
Yeah. But I think in terms of just bringing the ecosystem, you know, we're here at Data Citizens because Calibra plays such an integral part. We look at that as a common, you are part of my entire ecosystem.
Right.
Right. And, you know, whether you look at AWS or Snowflake or, platforms as an overall, that's very important to us.
Yep.
You were talking about registration or as you are hydrating the lake, what should be done first, what should be done next. I think for us, we thought about this. A lot of our data was already classified. It had the right classification, whether there is PPI in it, whether the data is restricted. We had the definitions. We were mapping it to business glossary. So what we essentially laid out from a rule of the land standpoint was before hydrating the lake, there are certain contextual aspects of each data element and data set that has to be curated. The big goal there was that, okay, we will hydrate the lake, but eventually we wanted to avoid the situation where our data lake becomes a swamp, number one. Second, the lake as it is getting hydrated, it has to be ready for consumption. If the data is not curated, folks are trying to figure out what this data is. But if it has the right curation, those classifications, the restricted, confidential, et cetera, as well as the business definitions, they flow with alongside the data.
Yep.
And on top of that, we wanted to also make sure that there is no unmindful copy of data. So because now that we know which data sets are either going into the lake for hydration, they are on schedule, if you will, like Jag is saying, we have a pipeline for next year. We know everything that is going to get hydrated. So there are multiple teams that are working on different data sets, they will not try to create the same copy that somebody else is working on.
Because every copy...
It's already registered.
Exactly. Storage, compute, that's one aspect. That's cost, right? More copies, more cost.
More risk.
More risk.
Yes.
Because every copy, you know, could be used wrongly. It might be out of date, but it could also be another target to be stolen. Yeah. If you have 80 copies, that's 80 places that could be stolen.
That's why we look at our control plane. Calibra plays such an integral part of that.
Yeah, on top of that, it's a critical point about not making copies of data. What happens is if a copy refresh is not on the same schedule, the way consumers are using that data, the same report, two people can produce from two different copies, and they would be different. Because of the timing.
Of course. Of course. On the one hand, if I may say, you have a control on the hydration, right? So you don't poison the well, right?
Yep.
Because otherwise, your lake may be clean at one point in time, but if the source is bad, then you know the lake becomes bad as well. But then you're also saying we have metadata across. So if I can use the metaphor of the lake, you can say, well, we know in the lake that area is for fishing, that area is for swimming, and over there you can do some water sports, some jet
domains,
skiing, whatever.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly the lake house concept, you know. Great analogy there.
Thank you. I'm only trying to summarize a little bit. But what would you say were your biggest challenges or the biggest pain points?
When I started in my data journey, this was... you know, a few years ago, even before our data modernization and application modernization started, we were looking at, again, a three-legged stool, metadata, data quality, and data governance. And, you know, we wanted to have a solution which serves all those three solutions, if you will. And in the end, we wanted to paint a picture and illustratively for our data producers and data consumers and anybody else, data governance teams, data engineers, which presents a data flow, a data lineage of just not your technical metadata. It should overlay the business definitions on it. On top of that, the quality that we are measuring at different control mm-hmm. points, different checkpoints as your data is moving through mm-hmm. the ecosystem. That should be overlaid on it. And, you know, plus the controls, you know, the data yep. movement controls. So that having an integrated business view was the part that was missing. There were some pieces of the puzzle which we did have, and mm-hmm. there were some which were missing. And for that, that's the reason we went on this journey to create, you know, a data governance, metadata, and a data quality ecosystem, which brings everything together for the end user, for the business user.
Maybe there was good work already being done, but maybe it was more artisanal. And you said, okay, let's put a strategy down with those three pillars of quality, metadata, and governance.
You're telling management multi-year significant investment. And why?
The business case.
Going back to my earlier comment, you have to spend enough time on the what.
Yep.
Then you got to spend enough time on the how and be very transparent in terms of to management of what issues are arising. Not everything's always going to be green, right? And you're going to need to raise issues, but indicate how you're also overcoming it. Mm-hmm. Also get some quick wins. Mm-hmm. So that you're able to build upon the storytelling and build upon the successes. So management feels that this is just not, oh my God, a sinkhole. Then they're supporting you. Going back to my earlier, you get past the what and the how, then it's a win because you've shown the progress that's been made. But if I had to say what was the biggest challenge, it was really starting. All right? To get through the business case to get, and management's been supportive. But explaining that, hey, this is not a 18-month
No, it's a way of working.
It's a way of working. Right? It's the people, process, and the technology.
For management, they can often sometimes see if they don't really understand data, if they've never done it, they can say, well, just put up a warehouse and it'll be okay. Yeah. And then you have to sort of give that story. Yeah. Well, there's a number of components we have to put out, and these are the steps, and that's how long it's going to take. And there might be some issues and risks around the way. So you're essentially doing stakeholder management of the team all the way up and down.
Yes.
Great. Let's take the lake to the marketplace, right? Mm-hmm. So is there like a little fishing shop next to the lake?
So the way I look at data marketplace and think about data products, we talk about that evolution. Right.
Yeah.
So the evolution is you got to create that ecosystem and then figure out how you're going to divide the business value for the consumers. That's where the marketplace and products come into it. So for us, we had to figure out, okay, got to create this platform, got to make sure the data is there, start unlocking value. And this is what I call that natural just progression. So, you know, sometimes as CDOs, we talk about the progression of CDOs over the last 5 years. Right, Stan?
Yep.
This is similar construct. We started much more on that defensive data governance management side, and now we're part of the business unlocking value. This is what modernization is. That's the next step.
Yep.
So I think for management, it's important to tell them that it's not something new. It's just how you're just continuing to build upon the existing platform and infrastructure.
Yeah, and that's normal. I mean, every function in an organization, be it data, finance, and or HR, the latter are already a little bit older in a way, right? A bit more mature, I would say, in the industry. Data has a relative newness to it and always a continuous technology driver that's changing, right? We have re-platforming every 10 years. But ultimately, they understand all functions, they evolve. Finance people have to do new jobs as well, right? Yeah. HR people have to do new jobs. Same thing with data people. So there is clearly evolution. In the marketplace, if I would say, if I would take again the notion of the registry, I go in the little shop, fishing shop next to the data lake. Is the registry of users, would you say that's like the CRM in the marketplace, the list of buyers almost?
So when we are creating data products, essentially we are talking about creating value, what Jack talked about, the business value.
And so every product has
a business value, right? And that is how the data products are being defined. When we think of marketplace, that's how you deliver that value. So, you know, to your analogy again about the fishing store next to the lake house, that is where the folks are going to go there to get their fishing supplies. So that would be your data marketplace. That's where they can essentially get well-curated data products with the right quality level, with the right controls, with the right data sets, and they can, and which are ready to use. They are ready to be plugged into each other. So that's the other concept about data products. They are pluggable into each other. So when we are creating data products, we got to keep that into mind as well.
I have to say, both in style and philosophy, but also in terms of maturity of the profession, you are ahead of many, I would say. Because, you know, the CDO role, if you look at the Gartner framework, over, what is it, 10, 15 years, something like that, version one was more defensive. Version two was more offensive. Mm-hmm. Version three was in support of digital. And version four is all about data products.
Yeah.
So I love that you're ahead of the curve there. And as you've seen in the conference today, there's a lot of sessions, a lot of stories about data products, but they're few in comparison to many of the others. So you see that it's new that people are trying this data product approach. And I love that way of thinking, right? Because if you don't adopt this way of thinking, then, you know, people just build dashboards because they have a skill to build dashboards.
Mm-hmm.
But should the dashboard even exist, right? Data product thinking forces you to think about processes like ideation. You know, what are the steps to come up with a new data product? Mm-hmm. And if you come up with a new data product, an idea, you know, who's going to be the owner for it? Because if the data product has no owner, then there is nobody responsible to execute that into the value, right? Similarly, the other side of the data product lifecycle is sunsetting. Sometimes the data product is no longer needed or it gets replaced by a next version.
Which is okay.
Yeah. It's just the cycle of life.
Mm-hmm.
You've modernized, are modernizing, but almost there. So your technical infrastructure is ready. You're in the cloud. The AI disruption happened, which is also going to live to a large degree in the cloud. What's the connection for you?
I think everyone's taking a very conservative approach, but understanding it needs to be there. But it will start with, again, our strong foundation.
Yep.
The company's looking at use cases, making sure that we got the right AI governance, right frameworks, and then figuring out what business value we could drive from those use cases. Mm-hmm. That's where we are in terms of overall issue.
A few things are certain. One is that it's going to be disruptive in a good way. It's new technology. You know, the folks who are going to be adopting it, using it, they are going to stay ahead of the curve.
Mm.
The other thing which is getting very evident in the last year, 2 years, with ChatGPT and some of the other LLMs that have come out is, okay, AI is not going to be able to replace the human-centered thinking, the passion, the compassion that human beings have. But it can do a pretty good draft that we may be asking a junior resource to do or an intern to do or that we were going to spend the time. So it will give us a head start. I think these couple of things are pretty obvious, but more to come, you know.
You've mentioned the magic keyword, AI governance, will be a very big topic in the next couple of years. That is already very clear to me. You've mentioned, okay, from your mission, you're taking a more conservative stance, which is fine. At least you're taking a stance. I think there's a lot of organizations who are not even taking a stance yet. But it's clear that you're identifying use case, which is the right thing to do, because you're identifying opportunities where this automation technology might be of value. So you're tracking it while it's evolving, but also identifying where is the value sitting. Let's close this up. And I like to close it up by leaving the audience with a one-liner. Maybe imagine that you're talking to your self from 3 years ago, or maybe somebody who is just leaving school and is considering, should I go into data? Should I play with AI? What kind of one-liner advice would you give this other person?
Change is difficult, but it is inevitable. So let's just embrace it.
That's a good one.
Very good one.
Mine is basically going back to the data strategy. Your company's data strategy is critical to meet your customer needs and business objectives.
Very simple. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Jag.
Thank you, Stan.
Vikram. Thank you for having us.
Enjoy the conference.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, that was great. While I didn't actually interview Jag and Vikram, Stan got so many good nuggets out of this story. And you'll see this format from us from time to time when someone like Stan or maybe the head of our public sector business, they have a really close tie with the customer and they want to continue their conversation on the podcast, we'll do that. And that's great. That's great for all of us. I mean, how many of you want to hear my voice with every single question that we ask on the podcast, right? Either way, and as always, I want to share my big three takeaways. First, I love how relatable Jag and team made their work for the rest of their business by organizing their entire data strategy into these three succinct pillars. It just makes their work very clear. And I think the clearer you can make the strategy, the clearer you can illustrate your impact. Now, second, data storytelling is paramount. As you're advocating for governance or data management, think of showcasing your impact into problem, solution, benefit, and tie it all to data. Lastly, AI is both an opportunity and a risk. And Jag and Vikram, they illustrated this so well for us. If you're not preparing for AI, do. That's it, team. Thanks for spending a few more minutes here with us today. And for Calibra, this is Data Citizens Dialogues, and I'm Thomas Sprentz. Until next time. Want even more insight into managing your data? Visit calibra.com/podcast for additional resources on the topics covered in our show. Be sure to follow us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. Enjoy what we have to share? How about a 5-star review? At Calibra, we absolutely appreciate your support. Data Citizens Dialogues is a production of Calibra in collaboration with Stories Bureau.